In the KSRO kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash.
Hi there.
Good morning.
How are you?
I couldn't be better with this beautiful fall weather.
Yeah.
No big trees fell on my roof this week, which was extremely exciting.
Just wait. It's coming.
Did you get some leaf drop on your property?
Not really. Not quite yet. But my Japanese maples have turn color, so yeah, that's great.
Isn't it beautiful? But remember, people that visit us from the East Coast, they always say, well, you don't have any fall here in California.
Oh, it's not
true. I just want to reach over and sing, excuse me, open your eyes.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous fall color. I'm sorry, we have an East Coast guest who's going to be joining us for in a few minutes.
I know.
But I hope he doesn't get offended by that comment. This past week, you wrote a lovely article. I'm so glad this appeared in our Press Democrat newspaper, called Quick Chicken. And,
yeah.
And true to form, all these recipes are pretty simple to put together,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, that was kind of the idea. And partly because chicken is such a, it's such a standard for us. I mean, we, and it's affordable now. Have you seen red meat prices?
They have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
I'm wondering why that is, or just
a lot of what's happening is that people who raise cattle and raise animals other than chickens are getting out of the business. You know, it's everything's too expensive, labor's too expensive, feed is too expensive. So
there's a consolidation in the market, and they're able to bump prices to what they want. Less competition.
Yeah.
Whereas
it was because there was a thing, this doesn't have anything to do with that, but that apparently gasoline prices in California are going to go up 65 cents a gallon. You know, it's like, whoa, stop.
Oh, my gosh. Well, but fortunately, we have a very robust poultry industry here locally.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
And that keeps prices competitive too.
And, well, I guess we don't want to get into the proposition that
failed, which
was great.
Which protects a lot of our small farmers and our large farmers too, our farmers, all of our farmers, which is really great. Well, chicken certainly has been the backbone of
or is it the breastbone?
Or the breastbone consumption. And in the PD, they did publish a few of your articles, but we just published all the articles that you wrote, and it's on the KSRO website right now, which is exciting. So let's just go through this. This sounds like a fabulous grandma recipe that maybe, and kids would love this too, and that's fried cornflake crumbed chicken. And this is a baked chicken.
It's a baked. The fried is in parentheses because it
it's not fried. It's up where they say oven
it's
fried.
Baked, yeah. Oven fried, yeah.
But it still has a marinade with beautiful buttermilk and then the cloves and the hot sauce. And you submerge that for a bit and refrigerate it, sometimes overnight. That's what I always do with my chicken. And then into a 400-degree oven. Arrange it on a, do you do in the Mac or do you have a raised grid on top of a tray, or do you put that right on the aluminum foil?
You can do it either way, but it's better if you do it on on a something that raises
a rim cake cookie
because
sheet.
That way the heat surrounds it and crisps everything.
Okay.
Which is great.
And good old Kellogg's cornflakes are fine?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay, there it is. Drizzle some melted butter over the chicken pieces. Then we have another baked dish, and this is a miso chicken. And is this another marinade that you use for this?
Yeah. It's actually it's the mixture of butter and miso together, which if you've never done it, it's one of the most magical concoctions if you want something really quick. And it's great on not only chicken, but on meat, all kinds of meats on vegetables and all of that stuff. It's one of the I've been working on a piece about simple sauces, mm-hmm. and this is one of those that, you know, you don't have to get into doing complicated things. You can just put miso and butter together. And I prefer white miso. The miso comes in many colors. The darker it is, the saltier it is, and the more powerful it is. White miso is the least salty and the least powerful, so it blends really wonderfully with the butter.
Well, I love this idea of combining miso with butter. Never thought to do that.
Yeah.
And you do add a little bit of honey and maybe a tablespoon of rice vinegar. And in parentheses, you say, don't use seasoned rice vinegar.
No.
A different animal completely. So there's a great baked one. Yakitori. We've done shows on yakitori, the Japanese grilled chicken skewers. And again, we're using mirin and sake and a little bit of soy sauce, a little sugar, and boneless.
It's the standard marinade for doing grilled chicken when you go to a Japanese restaurant that serves yakitori, and many Japanese restaurants just specialize in yakitori, and they do everything. I'll never forget, there was a great restaurant in Hong Kong when my son lived there, and we must have eaten there at least half a dozen times. And what they would do is do exactly this technique, but they would have, and I couldn't always translate them, but they would do every part of the chicken done this way. Put them on skewers and grill them, the heart, the liver, the
some people call those the unmentionables, but
right.
They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
But we're a little more squeamish far as exploring the different parts of the chicken. Then we have this is a great soup. I've made this one of yours, the chicken avocado soup, and it's just a perfect meal.
Yeah, it is.
Perfect meal. And that's basically what it is. Garlic, some onion, olive oil, oregano, skinless breast or thighs, canned tomatoes and juice, some avocados, lime juice, ground pepper, hot sauce, and cilantro with some tortilla strips. Chicken piccata. Oh, yeah. That's kind of Italian, isn't it?
Well, it is. Italian. You sound like my grandma.
That's how she said it? Italian?
Italian, mm-hmm. Yeah. And we would try to correct her, and she said, no, it's Italian. So it's great.
And this is quick because it's all done in one pan,
pretty much, isn't it? Yeah.
So, and then we have...
And it works well with all kinds of meats. I love doing it with pork, you know, so you can cut pork loin or tenderloin, pound it out a little bit, and do it in exactly the same way.
And would turkey piccata work too?
Turkey piccata would be great.
Fabulous.
In fact, often one of the classic dishes in Italian restaurants was veal piccata, and veal became very expensive. And so supposedly unscrupulous Italian chefs would substitute turkey for the veal, and you really can't tell the difference.
Oh, well, I'm going to be on my guard next time I'm in the time
I know.
To order veal.
I know. Okay. Well, yeah, you can't tell the difference.
I won't be able to.
Yeah.
What about you?
But it's
you
a whole lot
could,
cheaper.
Could you tell the difference? You're a chef. You would probably be able to.
Well, I'm probably not.
You could be fooled too. The next one, I'll tell you, it's so funny because I have friends that love chicken livers, and
Me too.
You do too, but they're not popular. I don't understand why, but maybe this recipe, chicken livers with bacon and ginger cream sauce. What was the inspiration for this dish? How'd you come up with this?
Well, part of it was I love chicken livers. And it used to be part of, again, in Italian restaurants, it was part of the menu. My grandma made the best chicken liver sauté in the world, and she would season it in a number of different ways. But it is so delicious, and it's kind of fallen out of favor, and I'm not sure why. They're inexpensive. They're fast. The key to it is just don't overcook them.
Okay. And that's a very bold, so I think that's really innovative, using a ginger cream sauce.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. That's great.
Yeah.
A different riff on it. And then these are served right on toasts? Is that how you...
You could do it that way, or just as is, you know, on rice, on whatever.
I notice a caveat here, a note. Use, if you can get them, organically grown birds for this.
Yeah. Well, the liver is, I won't go deeply into it because probably I don't know about it, but the liver is a filter. It takes care of stuff. I mean, in us too. It filters out contaminants.
Waste and impurities.
Impurities. thank you very much. So, you know, you might as well use something that is maybe a little cleaner.
Yeah, and we've got great producers here in Sonoma County.
Yeah, and you can get organic chicken livers easily.
Quick chicken enchiladas. That's a pretty good... I like the idea of using rotisserie chicken.
Of course.
For that.
Why cook a chicken and then... Or if you have leftover chicken, it's a great way to do that.
Okay, self-explanatory. And here's another one that features an Asian marinade, the simple marinated and roasted chicken breasts, and that uses a Asian chili garlic sauce. So that's really a bottled one you would get, and
or glass jars. Glass. You know, that it's wide. Any Asian market
we
has
carry
it,
this.
And it uses mirin and sesame oil. And again, it's a great thing to do with pork and with almost anything. Scallops is another. Terrific.
In the oven, 425, boom, dinner is served.
Yeah.
And then chicken breasts with vinegar. Oh, I like that. Cut through the richness of the dish.
Yeah.
Do you use just a straight white wine vinegar or any vinegar?
Well, you can use anything, but I think my favorite is cider vinegar, apple cider vinegar, just because it has a little more flavor.
Okay. And so that's a quick dish. And then finally, pan-seared chicken breasts with white wine, mustard, and creme fraiche sauce.
Yeah.
And what's the advantage of creme fraiche over sour cream or something?
Well, sour cream, if you've ever tried to cook with it, if it gets too hot, it curdles.
Oh.
Creme fraiche, magically, for God knows what reason, we'll have to ask Harold McGee sometime, doesn't curdle. And so you can heat it up, and it makes a creamy sauce without the danger of it getting lumps.
So you make this classic French pan sauce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All these recipes have magically appeared this morning on our KSRO website. Just go to the KSRO website hour, and you'll see John Ash's Quick Chicken entire package.
Yes.
Thank you for writing this.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. We're going to meet a new restaurateur that's doing great things in Sebastopol right after this break. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
KSRO, Bay Area home of the Las Vegas Raiders, with Jason Horowitz, Eric Allen, and Lincoln Kennedy. Don't miss the action. Every Raiders game is here on KSRO.
Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa has been taking excellent care of patients for over 30 years.
There's such a difference between doing things to people and taking good care of patients. And I've been blessed in my practice to be surrounded by people who know the difference.
Dr. Chernoff likes to use the term your natural best when advising patients on what procedures to have.
Our nicest compliment is always to create their aesthetic improvement such that no one ever knows that they've had it done. And that means creating a natural appearance, never a done appearance, never a pulled appearance.
He not only trains doctors and nurses nationwide, but also ensures his staff receives training to the same high standards.
I am proud to be referred to as a pioneer in the field of aesthetics because we have been deeply involved in the research and development of many techniques, both non-surgical and surgical.
Check the specials and services at ChernoffCosmeticSurgery.com.
The Sonoma County Legal Line. Get answers to your legal questions on a wide variety of issues. Real answers from Satare Law, a personal injury law firm powerhouse.
I was involved in a car accident sustaining injuries. I was not at fault. Should I hire a personal injury attorney?
Personal injuries can be emotionally and financially devastating. Daniel Satare is an attorney who specializes in personal injury law with extensive experience in auto, bicycle, and motorcycle accidents, wrongful death, and more.
My partner suffered spinal injuries in a car accident. accident and we don't have health insurance. Can we get the other insurance company to pay for upcoming treatments and lost wages?
Daniel Sitare and his team will guide you through the challenging issues of a personal injury case, always protecting your legal rights. Get answers to your legal questions on a variety of issues. Real answers from law offices like Sitare Law. Find out if you need a lawyer and make an informed decision. Go to KSRO.com now and click on the Sonoma County Legal Line.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
DJ Sash and Glass is a full-service residential window and glass company. DJ's has served Sonoma County since 1960, and they're three generations strong. DJ specializes in custom shower doors. They'll get your window or shower door quote done and back to you within 48 hours. Add a touch of class to your glass. Call DJ's Sash and Glass at 546-7344 for your shower door replacement. Wilgen Court in Santa Rosa, online at djsglass.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen, America's longest running radio food show since 1987. Delighted that you still support and love the show as much as we love bringing it to you every Saturday. You, John Ash, no surprise here. He's a chef. He's world famous. He eats at a lot of restaurants, let me tell you. I'm always picking his brain for where should I go. And I would say over the last 37, 38 years, there's occasionally restaurants you go, yeah, you got to go check this out. Most of the time, it's, yeah, it's okay. I mean, this is here's John's review.
But would you go again?
But here's John's review. Like, yeah, it was okay. So, well, what did you think of it? Yeah, it was okay. And then I'll say, well, would you go back? Nah, probably not. But it was okay.
Yeah.
Then occasionally, John will text me and go, hey, I ate at a place that was really good. It's affordable. It's real. They do great work. We should have these guys on. Mm-hmm. And like when I get that, this happens two or three times a year. Really, that's about it.
Yeah.
So you were impressed with this restaurant, Campanella, which just opened in Sebastopol. Tom Rutledge is the founder, owner of the restaurant. Thanks for coming in today. It's great that you could come in on short notice.
Thank you for having me. I was thrilled to get the call.
And would you just tell me, pretend he's not here, what impressed you about this restaurant?
Well, it was great food. I think the concept of the restaurant was really fun because you're a Brooklyn guy, and on the menu you have that this is your take on East Coast
kind of red sauce
restaurant. Red sauce kinds of restaurants.
And what does that mean?
That your Nona did. And so this was in honor of her.
This is absolutely a love letter to my grandmother.
Yeah.
And, you know, red sauce on the East Coast, it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It's comfort food. It's the neighborhood restaurant space. I think in California, Italian can go ultra specific, Roman or, pick your very specific straight out of California. And there's definitely an intense Cal-Ital type of cuisine here. And this is...
Well, there are a lot of Italians here.
There are a lot of Italians. And I love meeting everyone who comes in. And this is kind of a take on the immigrant Italian food. It's what happens when Italians move to America, my grandparents' generation or perhaps their parents' generation, and what kind of evolved into its own culinary discipline. And to me, it's what I grew up eating every day, all the time. So
I'm so glad to hear you say that because I think it's been demonized a lot over the years of like, now this is the Americanized Italian food. You want the real deal? You go to the Puglia restaurant that has this different regional cuisines. Mm-hmm. And I grew up with the same type of food that you did.
Yeah, or Tuscan or whatever.
There's a reason this food has been around for 75, 85 years, is because it is, and comfort food's gotten a bad rep also. But you use great, authentic, real-time ingredients. You're cooking to order. This isn't sitting on a steam table in the back. And this is food that a lot of people will recognize and love and have not been able to find.
So tell us about... Who's cooking?
Absolutely. So I have, front and back of house, I have an incredible dynamic group of people. Uh-huh. So the bar program, the general manager, she's a dynamite restaurant person. She's done amazing things. Anthony Paoni is in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. He is from Staten Island. He grew up maybe an hour from where I grew up. So, I think that there's a cultural implement to this that he just understood at his core. It wasn't someone trying to do a cuisine. It's the food he grew up being served by his family and eating his entire childhood. And, he kind of joked for a long time that when he went into his culinary world, he was running away from this kind of food for a long time. He was pursuing a lot of the professional culinary type food. And I think it's a homecoming for him. And I think you can taste that in the food. It's something he cares deeply about. It reminds him of his Nona. It's a very specific what we were nourished with growing up.
So give us some examples of Nona food.
Absolutely. When I signed the lease for this place, I wrote eggplant parm down on a piece of paper. That was kind of like, if metaphorically there was a food that I think represents what we're doing, it's that. And I think ours is incredible. I think it eats lighter. There's other things that, if I got out of school, my local pizza place did a chicken parm pizza. Mm. That's definitely off the cuff a little bit.
I've never heard of that one before.
It's definitely unique to us. It's something that I had there. Meatballs, but done in a way that I think has more care, like you said, not just sitting on a steam table. They're really done with a lot of care. The arancini was a childhood.
Because I'm a big meatball fan. What sets us apart? What do you add to these meatballs? It's a little different or traditional.
Well, I think tradition is in the eye of the beholder. I think that, meatballs, one of those really food memory kind of dishes that people have. If I was growing up in one household versus the other, it's not right or wrong. It's just what you grew up eating, if you will. Ours are something that our chef, Anthony, grew up more with pistachios and raisins. Oh. And there was a Moorish influence there.
Interesting.
It's a pork and beef combo, bread with the base as well. A little tighter than I think you would find in a lot of Californian Calital kind of places, but an incredible marinara finished with a little bit of ricotta on top. And
God bless you for giving meatballs some respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a...
So we were talking, we had on the show a while back, Steve, you should talk about them. The Frankie Spuntino.
Yeah.
Do you know them?
Not personally, but I'm aware,
Well, back 14 years ago, the boys, as we call them, from Frankie Spuntino in Brooklyn, published a cookbook. And they did a book tour out to the West Coast, and they said, hey, we'd love to come up and sit in with you and John. So they came in, and it was one of the most delightful interviews we've done in 37 years. And their menu to us, it's not just, it's red sauce, but it's really home-style cooking at its finest. And it's become a world destination.
Absolutely.
Which is really interesting. And Sam Sifton, who just retired from the New York Times.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this little board, but he said the best meal he had in all the years, 9 years being the head reviewer for the New York Times, was Frankie Spuntino.
I didn't see that.
It was a quote which I read on their website. It said, that night, sitting out in their patio, the food was perfect. It was fully realized of what they wanted to do. I've never had a more perfect meal. I'd go back and recreate that meal. Out of all, hundreds of the best restaurants in the world, he did that. And I thought of you, Tom, and what you're trying to recreate that feeling.
He's got to come to Campanella.
I would. It would be a dream. I think that the fun part about this kind of food is that we are, I never like to, I don't want to use the word educate in a dining room. You want people to just have a great time. You want to entertain more so for us. And getting people to realize you're not going to pick a city in Italy and say, I had this dish there and this tastes like that, whether it's gnocchi or something else, and really kind of explain that this is a very personal project to everybody involved. And we just want to treat them like they're in their own.
So what does Campanella mean? How did you come up with that word?
So Campanella has a couple different backgrounds. A more literal translation would be bell. That's the coming from the fact that hometown pride. My grandmother had kind of a catchphrase growing up, and when we were playing Little League or Pee Wee football, and she was always talking about Campolissimo. And the loose translation is, if you can hear the bell ringing, that's your hometown. You're kind of, because that was the center of town, was the large church bell. The secondary piece is my wife and I adopted a dog very early in our relationship. Her name was Belle. So it does kind of cross both things. So we were able to bring them both together.
But Bella is beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, correct. But our dog was just Belle, no A at the end.
But
so
Campanella.
No?
So there's a dog influence and a grand.
Yes, she was. She was kind of our child at the point. Actually, her paw prints hidden all over the restaurant. So we've had kind of some fun.
And just getting back quickly to Anthony, Chef Anthony, he cooked up here in Sonoma County. I remember when he was at the old Kenwood restaurant.
Absolutely.
Before it became another restaurant to eventually become Salt and Stone.
Correct.
And Anthony made a mark there. It's like, wait, there's a really good guy cooking out of the Kenwood now.
He is incredible. Like I said, both Gillian, who runs the front of house, and Anthony, it's so hard to find somebody who's both technically capable, a genuinely great person who cares about the culture of the team. It goes, you can taste when something is made in a place that's super stressful versus some place there where people are really enjoying
doing. There's that old saying about angry food is the result of an angry chef.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I believe strongly that kind of leadership in the restaurant dictates what and how you feel. If you're getting taken care of in the front of house or back of house, it's probably because the people working there are being taken care of.
So tell us about the space that you got.
It's funky.
It looks very different now than what it was before.
It's been many things in its life. It was a Quonset hut. It's a metal rounded building to start that had an addition and a patio put on. And like most construction projects, it took on a life of its own. Uh-huh. But it was a gravel yard, as I've come to learn from people who live there. It's been a Mexican hacienda style market for a period of time. It's been a handful of restaurants.
Yeah.
So, we did a pretty aggressive remodel on it.
Flavors had moved there.
They
closed here in Santa Rosa and moved there and went, what are they doing? And they were incredibly popular. We went out and dined there because we loved their food, and they lasted a while, and they decided to, that was it for them. And then you came in.
We have a great little strip going on in Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. Piala's there. Mm-hmm. We were lucky to come in the middle of them. Come Loy's on the corner. I think these guys are doing great stuff. And I think that, you know, it's fun to be in a place where people are doing something that they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the, you know.
It's a little gourmet ghetto.
Yeah. And I was really excited to join it. It was the building was dark when I found it. Uh-huh. I wasn't dealing with, you know, we didn't purchase the business or anything. So I was dealing directly with the landlord. And, you know, we came in and tried to make the best use of the space, square footage wise, and have some fun with
it. What's fascinating is that it's indoor, outdoor, kind of.
Patio area.
We have a great patio. I'm not going to lie. Ever since COVID, I don't want to sign a place that doesn't have outdoor dining. Pretty specific choice. And, you know, the other interesting thing is it's not easy to find a town that doesn't have maybe an overabundance of Italian. Mm-hmm. So it was really fun that Sebastopol, it has a great location, Portico there. Very, very different in concept. You know, they really do hone in on Italian. And we take that immigrant Italian approach. And so it was just all the pieces kind of came together there. We put a lot of sound deadening in the space. We built a big bar into the space and got a full liquor license.
It's interesting.
Room.
I didn't recognize it at all, the change from flavor to Campanella.
Really?
It is. Yeah. But also, it was raining and it was cold.
We do have our outdoor patio is getting very proper heating and some tent walls for the winter coming up. So we are making it quite comfortable there. But it's been a lot of fun. We had a brilliant designer. Shelley is her name. She really did an incredible job making it feel like a modern grandmother's dining room, which was kind of the vibe we were going for. There's a little mid-century flair.
Wait a second.
Places.
Hold on. That's something I have not heard.
Yeah.
Modern grandma's dining room. Yeah.
Well, you know,
hey, you should put that on the menu.
If you met my grandmother, she was always wearing her Versace scarf. She had her heels on. Her hair was done. I don't care if she was getting the newspaper or the mail. She was dressed up and ready to go. So she was the most fabulous woman I've ever met. So
that's wonderful. Let's take a quick break and we'll come in. And thanks for bringing in these different menus. I know you're rolling out things. And thank you for coming in today. When I talked with Tom and I said, hey, can you come in this morning? And he said, well, we're starting brunch on Saturday morning at 11. He said, but let me see if my chefs and my staff are dialed in. And if so, I'd love to come in and chat with you guys. So I'm glad it worked.
Same. Like I said, brilliant people running that place. So.
Okay, back after this, Chef John Ash and Steve Garner in the kitchen with Tom Rutledge. New restaurant is Campanella Kitchen and Garden Patio in Sebastopol.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
License number 254603. Danny, are you in here?
Oh, hey, Aunt Laura. Wasn't expecting you in this morning.
Well, I wasn't expecting to take a cold shower this morning, but here we are.
Oh, Aunt Laura.
Flew out of the shower, got dressed as fast as I could.
I'm sure.
Then rushed out the door, got in the car, and cranked up the heat.
I see you got an extra large coffee this morning, too.
Had to.
Okay, I'm sending one of the plumbers to your place to do a same-day water heater replacement.
Please, please, please.
They will also do a full plumbing inspection.
Probably should have done that a while ago.
Might have saved you a cold shower.
Not funny, Danny.
E-L-T-E-L-L-I, go tell me.
Sorry for laughing, Aunt Laura. Don't worry, you won't need to take any more cold showers.
Ever again?
Never again.
Don't take a cold shower. Visit us online at gotelliplumbing.com.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your complimentary consultation with Dr. Tom, call 707-542-8346.
Let's stay young together.
Visit Dr. Tom Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa, Napa, and Maui. Online at drtomcosmetic.com. That's drtomcosmetic.com.
Imagine a place where tradition meets innovation, a place where every baker from beginner to pro is part of a thriving community. Welcome to Central Milling's Artisan Baking Center in Petaluma, where this beautiful facility is more than just a state-of-the-art baking facility. It's a hub for lifelong learning and skill mastery.
With world-class instructors and a variety of classes tailored to all skill levels, you'll find the perfect fit, whether you're just starting out or refining your craft. And right now, use the coupon code BAKE15 to get 15% off any in-person class.
Artisan Baking Center is not just a baking facility. It's the farmer, the miller, and the baker all working together to preserve American farmland for tomorrow. Employee owned and operated, their team is personally invested in the quality of their products.
Go online to see all the classes available. From pizza to desserts, baguettes to pastas, you're going to find a class just right for you. Use code BAKE15 to get 15% off any in-person class. Go to centralmilling.com and click on Bake.
Thank you.
going to the New York here. Yeah, beautiful. We got a red sauce restaurant here happening. And, you know, if you live in the Brooklyn area, it's no big deal. But out here, this is something. This is something. And you've made it happen. Tom Rutledge, who is the owner of Campanella Kitchen and Garden Patio, took over the old space at the Flavor Restaurant in Sebastopol. How long have you been open? Just a couple months or so?
About 7 weeks.
Oh,
We're right there. So we've been doing dinner pretty much exclusively. Yeah. We opened for lunch last week.
Lunch was last week.
Last week, mm-hmm. Wednesday through Friday. And a brunch is officially kicking off this weekend.
That's exciting. You were talking off the air. You were talking about the that it's a unique space. It's tiny. Yeah. especially the kitchen and and what did you do to the pizza oven?
Yeah, so it would not be a kitchen you would design if you were to approach it for the first time. But we did work with what was there, and in an effort to get a pizza oven, and we physically couldn't fit it fully inside the building, so we actually stuck it on the front patio and cut a window into the kitchen and permanently installed it that way. So if you visit the restaurant and you come to the front patio, you'll see a beautiful Muganini oven from Healdsburg right on the front patio.
Oh, well, that's very innovative.
Had to get creative.
Well, I was going to say, and they signed off on it.
They did. Yeah, no, and you know, I got to give Sebastopol credit. I've been in a lot of projects over the past 20 years in restaurants, and they were very good to work with.
Oh, that's good. That's really encouraging. So, it's not always
so
the
that's,
case.
That's not often the comment you get.
No, quite often it's exactly the opposite, but they were very good to work with.
Well, look, just a quick preview of the menu. The small plates, arancini, the fruit de mar, the Nona's meatballs, the polenta with ragu and eggplant parm. A lot of these are vegan and gluten-free, so that's good too.
Absolutely. And, you know, gluten-free, there's a lot of gluten flying around an Italian kitchen, but we do our best. So I wouldn't necessarily say celiac safe, but it's definitely.
So I got to tell you, one of my favorite dish, I think, my one visit there, were the butter beans.
Isn't that a surprise?
So can you explain it?
I will say too, when Chef first brought it to our attention that he wanted to put on the menu, we were like, what? What do you mean? But he does a great base. There's an anchovy base with olive oil and a little bit of a spicy pepper aspect to that, and he finishes the beans. And you know, it's a long soak. And beans take a lot of time.
Yeah.
Long soak, and I think he handles them beautifully. And it's such a great small plate. It's
and
just
a little
such
pecorino shaved over
to finish it over the top. Nice. Absolutely. And you know, the menu is based on how we like to eat. Restaurant people tend to not want huge portions of one thing. You want to taste the menu, right? And so this is a selfish menu in that capacity, because this is how I like to dine. I want to get lots of little things, and those beans are just outrageous.
Beautiful. Then a house salad, radicchio salad, chickpea and ricotta bruschetta, and then New York thin style crust.
It is definitely, if you visited New York or you come from the Northeast, I hope if you get our cheese pie, you know exactly what we're doing here.
So one of the things, I think we were talking off air, one of the people who visited you for your trial dinners and things like that said she loved everything, except it was too cheap. she was a restaurateur.
And as a consumer, diner, I love the fact that it's not, I would not say I wouldn't use the word cheap. I would say it's affordable and reasonable for what it looks like. I mean, I was happy with it. I thought, oh gosh, $40 for a hamburger? No, there's nothing like that. This all lines up with what I think. I mean, I'm not a restaurateur. What I think food should cost in a restaurant.
Yeah, you know, I think that, look, I understand restaurant finance pretty well, and I understand why restaurants charge what they charge. And for us, it's about being a neighborhood restaurant. And I don't focus as much as cost as value. Is the value there, and how can we provide it? And as a restaurant owner, I want to see people's faces multiple times. I don't want to be a place where it's only for that special anniversary or birthday. I would love for you to come and sit at the bar and have a glass of wine and a snack, get something to go another day, come back for dinner for something nice. So we're really trying hard.
Retention.
Exactly.
Got it. And then I love this, that you, who came up with this? The sandwich board. You have a sandwich called My Cousin Vinny. My Cousin Vinny. So are they going to get sued by the movie company?
Probably. Back East, I think we do a lot of tongue-in-cheek names of things.
That's right.
I think my team is slowly coming around to my weird ways of naming things over time.
I like it. It's fun. It's fun. And then we have the brunch editions, which just kicked off this morning.
Yeah, kicked off this weekend. So we do serve a regular, I'll call it a weekend lunch menu until 4 o'clock, and we serve the brunch editions until 2.
Okay.
So. Oh, boy, I can't believe you got bomboloni on the front.
Oh, we do such a good donut. And, you know, this speaks to Anthony does an incredible dessert, and Gillian, who runs the front of house, is such an amazing resource because she is a world-class pastry chef. So He's got a little extra help there for when we got to tweak some stuff.
And describe what is bomboloni.
Basically, it's a beautiful donut. So we make what we call our house Nutella. So we have a chocolate hazelnut cream. Mm. The donuts do vary depending on what they feel like doing, but beautiful fried donut. They're very good with dough there.
Oh, my eye. You know what my eye went right to? Spaghetti carbonara.
Oh, the happy place. Yeah, I mean, I need a nap after I eat it. Yeah, so I can't.
Oh, well, I'm not planning on doing anything after eating it.
And I will say, this is one of those ones that's, when you make simple food, you kind of really wear your capabilities on your sleeve, because simple food can, you don't do it right. Oh my goodness. And sometimes simple food's the hardest food to do.
To ask you.
Yeah.
And I think to do it consistently.
Correct.
Yeah.
And carbonara is one of those. So, you know, there's no cream, there's none of the cheats that you could do in our carbonara. It's a very classic carbonara.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back with Tom Rutledge. John Ash and I, Steve Garner, invited Tom to come in and share the excitement of this recently opened Campanella kitchen and garden patio in Sebastopol.
Hi, everyone, I'm Brian Kilmeade. Please join me for the Brian Kilmeade Show, now live weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
If we don't talk about it, how are we going to fix it?
On Sonoma County's FM News Talk, KSRO.
It's fall in the North Bay. Let ARS Roofing and Gutters ensure your home stays protected and dry. ARS is your premier choice for roofing and gutter needs in Sonoma and Marin counties. Under the leadership of President and CEO Letitia Henke, ARS is not just a roofing expert, it's a community-driven force. Did you know that Letitia Henke founded the Lime Foundation? This nonprofit organization is making a real impact on the lives of our youth and seniors through programs like the Next Gen Trades Academy. The Next Gen Trades Academy introduces underserved and at-risk youth to alternative career paths in the trades, creating opportunities and transforming lives. But let's not forget about your roof needs. ARS is equipped for routine maintenance, repairs, and emergencies. Save our 24-hour hotline number, 707-584-5900. Trust ARS to keep you protected and dry year-round. More info at arsroofing.com. ARS Roofing and Gutters, cultivating connections with our community year-round.
Hi, I'm Dan Riley, manager of the Rohnert Park branch at Exchange Bank. At Exchange Bank, we know Sonoma County. We also know it's a tough housing market. If you're looking for a local mortgage expert, our in-house loan consultants are here to help. Swing by today and let's talk mortgages. Exchange Bank, where your home story begins. Learn more at exchangebank.com.
Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS number 643948. All loans subject to credit approval.
She's the first lady of rock and soul, Patti LaBelle, live.
I'm tied it up in my point of view. I've got a new attitude.
Patti LaBelle, 8065 Tour. Celebrating 80 years and 65 years in the biz. Saturday, November 16th at the event at Grayton Resort and Casino. Reserve seats on sale now online at GraytonResortCasino.com. Patti LaBelle, 8065 Tour.
You've got a Pepto predicament, moviegoer.
Hey, I can hear your stomach grumbling.
Sorry, I ate that entire tub of popcorn with extra butter.
You overdid it, and now your movie has turned into a blockbuster bellyache. Undo it with Pepto.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea.
Pepto chewables provide fast 5-symptom relief, so you can focus on the action on the big screen instead of in your stomach. When you overdo it, undo it with Pepto.
Have you heard? The famous Brass Ass Saloon Pizza and Steakhouse is back, now at 52 Mission Circle Santa Rosa, using the delicious original recipes many remember. Get a $50 gift certificate for $25 on MySonomaDeals.com. This deal gets you a famous Brass Ass Saloon large pizza with up to 5 toppings plus 4 sodas. All this for only $25 at MySonomaDeals.com while they last. Get your Brass Ass Saloon Pizza and Steakhouse gift certificate at MySonomaDeals.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the Chaos Arto Kitchen, spending time with Tom Rutledge, his new restaurant, Campanella Kitchen and Garden Patio. And this is, he's bringing these East Coast desserts, recipes, mains that you grew up with and were part of your family's dining history, wasn't it? Parents and grandparents both.
Absolutely. Myself and Chef, both from the same spot. Yeah.
So we're looking at a couple extraordinary looking desserts.
Desserts. Actually, I just tried the New York style cheesecake. What makes it New York style?
You know, I think that the New York in particular tends to be pretty dense, a very heavy egg and cream mixture. And I think we take the concept of flavor profile of that very classic cheesecake, that emphasis on that cream cheese, and we make it a little bit lighter. I think the New York cheesecakes tend not to be overwhelmingly sweet, and I think we keep that narrative here. And then a graham cracker crust. So it's a slightly Californianized, a little lighter version of a very classic cheesecake, but I think the New York style is to be not overly sweet.
And you have toppings on these?
They always come with a fruit compote. So right now we're doing a strawberry rhubarb fruit compote on it, but we keep that very seasonal. The cheesecake is pretty standard on the menu.
Well, this could easily serve two.
Absolutely. Yes.
Is this a serving?
That is a serving.
Well,
yes.
You know, I have to say, this could even be three. Really, a few forkfuls of this, you get a good hit of cheesecake.
You know, a lot of the menu is meant to share. And the desserts are no different. Chocolate budino, I grew up with all of our local bakeries had a seven-layer cookie, also known as a rainbow cookie. It's an almond-based cookie, so we do our homage to that as well. So,
do you make those in-house?
We do.
Those rainbow cookies?
Yep, absolutely.
So looking through the rest of the rainbow cookie, is that part of New York?
It is, yes. Seven-layer cookie. It's definitely very regional. It depends on kind of what bakeries and what delis you grew up next to. I think the ubiquitous New York cookie is the black and white. Or maybe a cannoli, which would be another classic dessert. But the seven layer of the rainbow was definitely a big part of my childhood.
It is. And then we have sorbet or gelato and then the New York cheesecake. Now, what's the story with the chocolate budino?
So chocolate, next one you know, at. I think every dessert menu, if you don't have chocolate, you're going to be run out of town. this is our homage to our chocolate dessert. So it's a classic, it's a dairy-based chocolate mousse. We typically serve it with an Italian meringue, which we bring the torch to give it a little bit of a smoky flavor and a chopped almond. This has been on from the beginning. I don't see it going anywhere. It's pretty well liked. Again, very rich, even though the portion size isn't quite as large.
It's enough.
Enough is a good word for it, which is what we're going for. And we always do something seasonal as well. We have an apple tort, or right now we're doing a tiramisu.
We
are. And I don't know if we'll be allowed to take that one off by the time we're done. So that's probably going to become permanent at some point, depending.
Are you looking at any more additions? I mean, there'll be specials probably on
specials.
The menu.
And rotations. You know, I think sometimes in order to have fun, you have to be allowed to change some things up. So there's nothing permanent, nothing that has to happen.
Well, you know, you're going to get feedback when we take something off the menu.
Always do. But then, you know, we'll bring it back and we'll have fun with it.
And are you going to do a Sunday supper?
You know, we are. So we started with the idea of doing it every week, but I think that that's a little bit much. So we are going to be tailoring that to once or twice a month. Okay. It was a big part of my childhood, grandma's house on Sunday, you know, for the day and doing that. So we had a couple examples. We did a fried chicken dinner.
I keyed on that right
away. Yeah, it's a phenomenal. And Anthony does a beautiful fried chicken. And, you know, there's a lot of wineries very close to us. So we're starting to have some fun with bringing people in to kind of have some fun with us as we choose certain dishes.
And boy, what a robust bar setup. It's great.
Yeah, this is, you know, I have Gillian, who's the front of house manager, has an incredible palate. She brings her pastry background into doing beautiful cocktails and beautiful drinks. Our lead bartenders are also, you know, there's a gentleman there, Aiden, who is just a fantastic guy, and Tony and Alina, who are also behind the bar. We let them have fun too, so you'll find a lot of fun things that they've come up on the menu.
And do you have Italian wines? I didn't get to
finish. We have a mix. Absolutely.
Yeah, you do both.
We do both. Wineless is ever growing. For anyone who's ever started a restaurant, you have to put a lot of money on your shelves when you buy a lot of wine. So we started small this time, and we're having a lot of fun with the local producers and a couple Italian varietals just to keep it on brand.
And just one final comment, if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, you have another restaurant.
We do. We have a Pan-Latin concept called Barrio. It's right in Ghirardelli Square. We do everything from scratch there. I have a lovely partnership with two gentlemen who hold that place down, and it's fantastic and great view, really killer margarita. Great tacos.
Mm. We're going to be in the city in December, and I already checkmarked this. Like, a great view to see my brother who's coming in from out of town. I thought, this would be a great place to check out Alcatraz and also enjoy some.
And Ghirardelli's, it's such a lovely spot. You know?
It is, and they've done a good job bringing a lot of local restaurants there. So it's actually just a nice little food court to a degree.
And I want to thank you also, when I called the restaurant, someone real answered, which you don't always get. Leave a message, someone will get back to you. But go online and TikTok, but someone answered.
It's a people business, and I think you have to keep it that way.
So hours at this time?
11:30 to 9, Wednesday through Sunday. The menu goes from lunch to dinner at around 4 o'clock.
Okay, and closed when?
9 o'clock. Last seating is 9 o'clock, so we're happy to have people in.
So closed Monday, Tuesday?
Closed Monday, Tuesday, excuse me.
Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
Well, thank you, gentlemen.
This is great. Well, John, we have to go out there on your recommendation and meeting Tom.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It was, you can tell, I think you can tell from Tom that it's, you know, it's a place that people care.
Thanks for that. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Back next week, and we will be, I'll tell you about that next week. We've got a really special guest coming on the show who's arriving from England and has a book that's going to be an international bestseller, who I followed her blog for a couple of years, and we'll tell you about that next Saturday. Yeah. It should be a lot of fun. Coming up next at the table with Clark Wolf, this is KSRO, the Good Food Hour.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
Join Chef John Ash, the two-time James Beard Award-winning cookbook author, teacher, and